Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Wednesday, the 5th of February. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And our top story is that a Maidstone man who stabbed a police officer is starting 30 years in prison. Robert Jenner attacked the PC who'd gone to his home with a colleague following reports of someone exposing themselves in a nearby park. Footage of the moment before the attack happened was captured on police body-worn camera.
Robert, last warning, you need to open the door, it's going to be damaged and you'll end up paying for it. Step away from the door, please, Robert.
We've got it open now, is it? The lock on?
Come, Rob, open the door. It's got that against it.
Yeah, he's just barricading, he's got lots of furniture behind the door. The door is actually open with holes in it, but he's just barricaded. Probably his whole flat behind the door at the moment. Out. Show me your hands. Show me your hands. Climb over and get out.
Right, come out the door now.
Come on. Give me your hand.
I've got no
idea. Put those down now. Put them down now or you'll get sprayed again. I've got a pair of scissors.
You might have heard of Robert Jenner before, as he was dubbed the Naked Carpenter for doing DIY in the nude. Well, the 50-year-old from Albion Place was found guilty of attempted murder in December following a trial. He didn't give evidence and refused to attend court. He also didn't turn up at yesterday's sentencing. DI Lee Neils spoke outside Maidstone Crown Court.
PC's Quinn and his colleagues were responding to calls from members of the public in regards to a male who was running around Maidstone naked, exposing himself to members of the public and causing them distress. So, realising who that male was likely to be, PC Quinn and his colleagues attended the home address of Robert Jenner. When they went to arrest him, he refused them entry, barricaded himself in the premises. So, officers had to force entry in order to get in. Once those officers got into the premises, PC Quinn went to arrest Robert Jenner and was subjected to a vicious, brutal attack with scissors, which caused severe injuries, over 20 injuries to his head, face and neck. And I believe had it not been for the training and experience of PC Quinn and the bravery of his colleagues, PCs Isaacs, Bates and Groves, that we could have been dealing with a murder inquiry here. Although Robert Jenner was known for offences of exposure, there was no previous convictions or any intelligence to suggest that he was a particularly violent male. But I think what this case does highlight is the very real dangers that frontline officers go through day in, day out in order to protect the public. This attack has had a profound impact not only on PC Quinn but his colleagues as well. That was clear when they gave evidence in court. I hope that now the sentence has been passed that they can start to move on with their careers. As police officers, we expect a level of abuse. It's not to say that that is right, but we do expect to receive that level of abuse, but nothing like this. This is by far the worst attack on a police officer I've ever seen in my career.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a group of teenagers who knocked an Ashford man unconscious and left him with five broken ribs have avoided being locked up. A court heard the victim was attacked after he confronted them over repeated knocking on his front door in May 2022. They've been given 12-month community orders and must do unpaid work. They've also got to pay compensation. A woman's been charged with attempted murder following an alleged knife attack in Dover. The victim was taken to hospital with injuries to her back after it happened in Biggin Street last month. A 47-year-old's been remanded in custody. Police are also trying to trace three potential witnesses who were in the area at the time. Now, a property management company has frozen the accounts of residents in a part of Folkestone after complaints about an increase in service charges. Some people living on the new Shorncliffe Heights development have seen their fees double, with others being asked to pay hundreds more annually. Well, the town's MP is backing their concerns. And I've been chatting to Green Party councillor Mike Blakemore, who represents the Cheriton ward, which covers part of Shorncliffe Heights.
In common with many other such developments around the country, when the development was built, the council didn't adopt it. So that means that the maintenance of the site is carried out by a company, in this case Firstport, and that's not at all unusual. And they're entitled to charge a maintenance fee from residents for the upkeep of the surroundings of their home. So it's things like tending the flower beds and mowing the verges and things like that. And obviously, the issue is how much you get charged. And in this case, there's a lot of concern, partly because different people on different parts of the estate are paying vastly different amounts of money. So it could range from a couple of £100 to, in one case, £1,800 a year. But also the fact that those charges have all increased very dramatically. So people in some cases have found that their charges doubled this year compared with last year, and they don't really understand why. And they're very fearful that these charges could continue to increase at that rate in the future and they won't be able to afford them anymore.
This certainly isn't the first development we've heard of where there have been issues and where prices have gone up. I mean, it seems like an area that's very unregulated at the moment. What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, it does need a change nationally. It needs a change in the law, in the same way as we've seen some reform of leasehold arrangements so that tenants can't find themselves trapped in a similar kind of situation where they're being charged increasing fees, not having any control over that, not really having any alternative once they've, you know, we all want to buy a home and enjoy that home without, you know, fear of not being able to afford to live there anymore. And that's particularly relevant at the moment with the cost of living crisis and energy prices having increased as much as they have. So people's budgets are really tight. So if you're faced with a charge that just suddenly increases out of the bill, that's real concern. And I'm very pleased that local MP is getting involved, and that I know other MPs around the country have got involved with this issue. And Firstport are responsible for managing many other estates around the country. So they've become a big player in this. And some might say they've got a bit of a monopoly on this. And that's an issue as well, of course, where you have a situation where there isn't competition. Is what's to stop a company from doing this, basically.
As you mentioned there, an awful lot of people live in this new development. It is pretty vast, but thankfully they're all talking to each other. They've worked out, you know, there are some discrepancies and they're not holding back. They're wanting to take action and kind of raise this. Where are we at the moment?
Yeah, well, I was really pleased. They got in touch with me as one of their local councillors. And I understand their frustration because one of the issues they raise is, well, we pay council tax. So why should we pay council tax and pay a maintenance charge? And that's an issue as well, because local councils, again, all over the country have faced cuts to their funding from central government. And they can't afford to take on these developments in a way that perhaps they would have done in the past. So I understand the frustration. And of course, only a small part of the council tax goes to the district council. Most of it goes to fund the county council and the police and the fire service and things like that. So I understand that frustration. So what they're trying to do is, and as residents in Faversham have managed to exit their arrangement with Firstport, that's quite a long and complicated process, I understand. But I think they're looking at whether they can do that. And the residents have come together in a way that's really, really good to see.
House builder Taylor Wimpey is behind this development and says it's aware of the worries that residents have about the management company. A spokesman for them says, "We recently met with Firstport to discuss the concerns that were brought to our attention by some residents and to assist in finding a solution where appropriate. We've also been in touch with Firstport and they have sent us this statement. It says, we are aware of an inconsistency in the accounts for different phases of the building and we are urgently investigating the issue. Customer accounts have been placed on hold while we conduct a review and we will provide updates to customers as soon as we have more information."
Kent Online reports.
A former Kent police officer has been jailed for sexually abusing a young girl. David Connolly was working for the force when he carried out offences between 1998 and 2000. The victim came forward in 2020. The 61-year-old from Norwood Hill Road in Charlwood in Surrey has now been locked up for 11 years. A Rochester man's due to go on trial after denying pouring scalding water over a dog. It's alleged to have happened in a garden in Higham in June last year. 48-year-old Adam Heath from Wilson Avenue is accused of causing unnecessary suffering to an animal. He also denies assaulting the pet's owner. A man found with a gun hidden in his sock during a police search in Maidstone has been sent to prison. Daniel Bryan from Stowfield Gardens in Eltham was discovered in a suspicious vehicle in July last year.
Just spread your legs for me, please, Marlon. Thank you. What's that? That's a gun. Gun! Tucked in his left sock.
Right. Okay. Listen, can we move him away from it?
Right, okay.
And it looks like he's got a round, but it's wedged in it.
Okay.
It looks like it could take a round.
Round.
Magazine to take little rounds, and it looks like there's a
one
round
in the chamber.
In
like a homemade one in the chamber, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that going to be an old starter pistol or something?
Yeah, and then
could
they
be, sort of like that.
Yeah. It's proper moody, that's for sure.
As you heard there, the weapon turned out to be a modified starter pistol. The 30-year-old's been locked up for 6.5 years.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested after a teenage boy was taken to hospital with facial injuries. Police were called to reports of a serious assault near shops on Knights Road in Hoo late on Monday night. A 26-year-old's been questioned. Two teenagers have been arrested following an alleged knife point robbery in Folkestone. A man's phone was reportedly taken as he walked on Beechborough Road on Saturday. It was then used to transfer money from his bank account. An 18-year-old man from Folkestone and 17-year-old boy from Hythe are in custody. A cannabis factory has been found in a house in Herne Bay. Police searched the property in Eddington Lane and discovered 170 plants being grown. Cultivation equipment has been dismantled and so far no one's been arrested. Now, a Kent charity boss has been telling the Kent Online podcast just how easy it was for him to get weight loss jabs online. Neil Charlick runs Gillingham Street Angels and has been speaking after it was revealed those wanting to buy the injections will face more stringent checks in future. The regulators told online pharmacies that they must conduct a proper two-way consultation with a patient and can no longer rely just on a questionnaire. Neil has lost more than 5 stone in 3 months. Christine Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV has been hearing about his journey.
I've always had problems with my weight since being a youngster. I've always been overweight. I've had a weight loss operation before, bariatric surgery, which is quite a lot to that. It's quite a lot of recovery time, can be quite painful. This came on the market and I've always struggled. Even when I had the operation, I still struggled with my weight. It's very difficult to keep it under control. When you suffer with weight problems, it is bad. Saw this come up, but we'll give it a try. It's been fantastic. I mean, people are saying it's a wonder drug. It's amazing. There's a lot of people out there taking it, and I think it's a good thing.
Did you have any fears or any worries before starting the medication?
No, I think I did it online. So you go online, you fill in a form online, you have to send some pictures through, prove that you are overweight, and they ask the basic medical information. I don't think it's that. It's not very difficult to get it. It is quite easy to get it. Nothing really phases me these days.
Do you think that it's maybe too easy to get for people who maybe are looking at it from an unhealthy perspective?
I think, as I was saying to you about TikTok, there's a whole community of people taking these injections on TikTok. And you look at some people and you think, why are you doing it? You don't need to do it. You know, you're just normal kind of size. So there is, you know, somehow they're getting those injections for people that don't really need it. But I think for people that really are struggling medically and really are obese, I was clinically obese, I think it's a good thing.
Do you think for some of the people that it can be quite a trend and maybe people can get sort of sucked into feeling like they have to do this sort of a thing?
There's a danger with that of anything. Vaping, when vaping come out, people just decided they've never smoked before, but they vaped just for the sake of it was fashionable. There is going to be a lot of people doing it. And if there's people like me promoting it, saying it is good and it is good for you, you're going to lose weight, there are going to be people who abuse it. I think that's with anything out there, that people are going to abuse whatever kind of medication, whatever trends there are, sadly.
What sort of side effects or downfalls did you see from taking the jab?
I've only had one side effect, and that's being cold. when you're cold, you are really cold. I'll be sitting in bed, I've got a spaniel and I'm clinging onto him for dear life, trying to use him as a hot water bottle, and you're cold. That's the only side effect I've really had. I mean, it's all positive for me apart from that.
And in terms of your journey with it, how long were you on it for, and how quickly did things progress?
So November, I started it in November. I was 18 and a half stone. I'm now 12 stone 10. So in that kind of time, again, people are going to say that's too quick. There's, I take all the supplements, I make sure I take enough protein, drink enough water. I follow what you're supposed to do. And it is, I think it's important that people do that. Some people do get a bit carried away and they're just not eating anything. If you watch these things, like there'll be other things. Like social media is a big thing these days. If you watch what's going on, you can talk to other people. They've got different experiences and you'll learn the right way to do it, because you don't want to put yourself and your health in more problems.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have been called to tackle a blaze at a recycling centre in Ashford. It started in an electrical container on the Cobbs Wood Industrial Estate last night. Council bosses say the site is open as normal today. The MP for East Thanet is urging the government to consider social tariffs to help people with high energy bills. Labour rep Polly Billington says too many families are struggling to afford increasing gas and electricity prices. She raised the issue in the House of Commons.
In anticipation of the energy market reform that, of course, the previous government completely neglected to do, I'm looking forward to hearing confirmation from my colleagues on the front bench that we may be able to anticipate a way of insulating people in the long term for that transition to decarbonising heat, for example, with perhaps a social tariff. Would my right honourable friend be able to give us some confirmation that in future we may be able to have a social tariff that protects the very vulnerable, most vulnerable, from the excesses of energy prices?
And here's a response from Miatta Fambula, who's a minister in the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero.
I agree with my honourable friend that we urgently need to tackle this challenge of affordability. Energy is not a luxury good. It is absolutely foundational for people. And for too many people, this essential good is not affordable. Now, a social tariff is one mechanism for responding to this, and there are different ways in which you can implement it. We are looking at all the options in order to ensure that families can get this essential good at more affordable prices.
We're told nothing suspicious has been found following a three-day search of land in North Kent. Forensic experts were called to the A227 Gravesend Road between Vigo and Rootham at the weekend. An area was analysed following an unusual appearance of the soil in woodland. Police have now left the area. Detectives say they're still keen to hear from anyone with information 15 years after a Medway teenager went missing. Richard Lambert had spent a night with friends before getting involved in a row and leaving his home in Chatham. Despite driving a distinctive black Ford Fiesta ST500, the 19-year-old has never been traced.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a Maidstone man who's just completed what's known as the world's toughest row has told the podcast it certainly lives up to its name. Andy Purvis and his teammates spent 49 days at sea, travelling 3,000 miles across the Atlantic from the Canary Islands to Antigua. And he did it to raise money for Medway baby loss charity Abigail's Footsteps. Well, I've been chatting to Andy as he continues to recover in the sunshine in Antigua, and he told me how nothing could have prepared him mentally for the challenge.
We left La Gomera a day early because the weather was closing in. And within a day and a half, you see absolutely nothing apart from sea. We saw no ships, nothing for 14, 15 days. Every time you get out your cabin, you wake up in the morning, it's the same picture. Whether the sea's rough or whether it's calm, it's just everywhere. So, no, nothing can prepare you. We did some well sort of being training, and that came in very useful. The fact that we knew that particular conditions would finish and we'd be back in a stable position.
What were, would you say, the highlights now you've had a little bit of time to look back at the journey? What particularly is the one thing you're really going to remember?
I think it was the solitude and, the things that you didn't quite expect. The starlight at night. I mean, basically being out there with the comets and pitch black, but actually seeing the stars, that was amazing. The sunrise and sunset every day. The sunrise was particularly beautiful. Obviously, we rode through the night all night in pitch black with waves smashing against us. And then the sun comes up, beautiful. We rode with some whales. They were amazing just to see the whales in their natural environment. So there was lots of really good takes out of it. And they are be in my memory forever. Those absolutely fantastic.
And how did you find life on the boat? I mean, it's bigger than just an ordinary rowing boat that we may get on. It's quite a big old vessel, but still, you're on that for a long time, aren't you?
Well, it's 6.5 metres long, so it's not that big. And basically, you can't stand up, or you can stand up. But the reason why I think we're suffering with backs and things is the fact that we've not stood up for 50 days. But yes, we crawled around. Obviously, it's very, very wobbly. Seas never calm. And even lighting a little jet boil for you to warm your dinner was a challenge. We tried to explain that everything you do on that boat is 10 times harder than if you did it on land. It's just crazy.
And I believe you did lose quite a bit of weight, didn't you, doing this? You must have obviously prepared for that before you went.
Yeah, just lost short of 11 kilos. But I think we probably lost most of the weight in the first few weeks. With the just trying to get used to the environment, and then we started to eat a lot more properly when obviously energy was much more important. So yeah, I mean, I think most of the weight was lost in the early days, but yeah, I need a new pie and some dinner. Keep me going.
Lots of us back here in Kent were following your journey across the map. We could see how you were getting on, and being able to see you cross the finish line live was just spectacular. And of course, you've been doing this for charity. We spoke about it before you set off. What's it like now that you've been able to raise so much money and complete that challenge?
I'm in awe of the people that have followed us, and I can't thank them enough. People that have sponsored us, absolutely amazing. I think we've raised £20,000 plus. Abigail's have done absolutely amazing out of it. I think we're up to £13,000 or just short of that at the moment. People have been very, very generous. And yeah, I'm just actually humbled and thank everybody for their support. Just never dreamed that people would get on with it or join this challenge as they have. It's just been amazing.
Huge congratulations to Andy and his teammate Tim. A petition's been set up calling for an ice rink to be built in Ashford. At the moment, the only one in Kent is based in Gillingham, which is also home to the Invicta Dynamos ice hockey team. Its claimed land in Leacombe Road would be ideal for the development. The council have told us they'd welcome any company bringing forward plans to invest in the area. A wife has saved her husband's life by doing CPR just 4 weeks after going on a course to learn it. Kirsty Finch from Hadlow was able to keep Cliff alive before ambulance crews arrived when he collapsed at home. He had surgery and spent 17 days in hospital, but is now thankfully continuing to recover at home. And a lottery winner from Thanet has finally claimed their prize 3 months after buying the ticket. They matched 5 main numbers and 1 lucky star back in November. The prize is worth £85,000.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and the chairman of Dover Athletic has criticised the unacceptable behaviour of some fans at recent matches. Jim Parminter says there's been trouble both home and away with moronic chanting and vile language. The club's threatening anyone responsible with a lifetime ban and possible police action. Elsewhere, defender Sam Gale has signed a new contract at Gillingham. The deal will keep the 20-year-old at Priestfield until the summer of 2027. Sam was first at the club as an under-13 and made his first team debut in November 2021. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has lost in the first round of the Abu Dhabi Open. The Brit was beaten in straight sets by former Wimbledon champion Markéta Vondrousova. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials and get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.